Celebrating Halloween. This is BFBS. Fright Night.
The Forces Station.
Welcome to Fright Night on BFBS. I'm Mike Howarth. We're about to hear a Halloween event which took place in 2018, before the coronavirus pandemic. Presenter Adam Richardson and I spent a night at Drakelow Tunnels in Kidderminster. They were built between 1941 and 1942 so that the Rover Group had somewhere secure to build the aircraft parts during the war and to avoid them getting bombed above ground. The elements that you hear in this programme were recorded throughout one evening, and some of the audio has been amplified in order for a clearer listen. But all of the audio was recorded inside the tunnels, and nothing has been added to since. Jill Bacon, who works for Haunted Happenings, was our host, leading the team consisting of Mark, Nikki and Pam. And she began the night's proceedings with a little introduction and a brief history.
Following the war, they continued to use these tunnels to build truck engines up until about 1958. In 61, the government took over and they converted it into a nuclear bunker in case we were hit by nuclear. It was decommissioned in 93 and the current owner bought it in 95. And what you see here is what you get. So they took most of the equipment out. Kitchen's still populated because the stuff was too bulky to move out. There's some comms. So if you go back halfway up that tunnel and take a left, there's some comms rooms up there. If you come out of the base room and take a left down that way, there's some engine parts up there, machinery as well. If you've got a map, it's made up of four main tunnels. This is tunnel four. It runs as far as the eye can see down that way. It swings off to the left at the bottom, and you've got some big double doors down there you can drive through. If you go out of those double doors, there's a workshop area. Every end of the tunnel has got that same entrance. It goes as far as the eye can see up this way. All four tunnels run parallel to each other. Tunnel three is over that way, followed by tunnel two. Tunnel one is the furthest one away. They are joined up by these perpendicular tunnels. So think of it as a big grid, and it is as simple as that. In the event of getting lost, I recommend you go around in a clockwise direction, make your way outwards at any opportunity. Eventually, you're going to come up tunnel four. There's a hanging clock. There's only two hanging clocks. One's outside the base room, and there's the other one. Head back up to those toilets, back up for the candles, you're home and dry, safe and sound. If you get really, really, really lost, shout. We will pick you up at the end of the night. Don't panic. It is 3.5 miles, but that is every nook and cranny, so I think that counts every little corridor that goes off. It's not quite as big as it sounds, but it is vast. It is good to have a good mix in the room, so who's a believer in ghosts and spirits and things that go bump in the night? Fair few. Who sat on the fence, not too sure, could do a bit more evidence? And who does not believe in anything? Who's our sceptics in the room? One or two down here and over there. Excellent. It's good to have sceptics because they'll keep our feet on the ground. Okay, so when somebody says there's this gush of air going past the face, be our sceptic that goes and finds the open window and door. There are no windows or doors, but you'll be all right. The other good thing about sceptics, when our candles burn low, we make a little bonfire out of you guys. Now, the door is now locked and the team have got the key. Anybody not got a torch? You're a sceptic, don't matter. It is pitch black out there. Who's scared of the dark?
No one to be.
We'll find out later.
And can I just say, Jill was not kidding.
She really wasn't.
It really wasn't. Pitch black. That was Jill Bacon from Haunted Happenings, who was our host for the evening down in Drakelow Tunnels, talking about not only the history, but also kind of describing the setting for it as well. It was all a little bit freaky.
It's got a lot of history.
It does have a lot of history.
A lot of history. Unfortunately, there were some tragic accidents that happened in there as well. We, I think it's fair to say, really got stuck in.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
More than we ever anticipated into what happened on the night. And, of course, Jill does this regularly, so she's used to things. She has stories later on, things that have happened to her, because she's a tough girl. Now, Mark Whittingham was on the hosting team when Adam and I went to visit, and he's been visiting and working in Droitler Tunnels for the past 2 years, over 2 years, in fact. And he took us on a little bit of a tour around near the base room where we were all sort of crowded and went back to, obviously, for like a security blanket, if you like. And we had a chat with Mark by the old comms rooms.
This is from the 1940s, well, I presume it's from the 40s, isn't it, looking at it? For what we've got, obviously the comms room. A lot of this equipment is irreplaceable anyway.
Sure.
Okay, so gives you a rough idea to what this room is quite useful. If we move down to the next one here, this would have been, looking at its base, probably around the 60s, I'll take a guess at. Looking at the equipment to what we've got in there. So they're going through the eras of when the tunnels obviously was built for Second World War, then it was a Cold War bunker, military bunker. And it got decommissioned in 92, I believe it was, which was there. So we've got this room here. And then as we move down to the next one, we kind of come back into the, say, the late 80s to the 90s, looking at what equipment we got in here as well.
Have you had a lot in the way of paranormal
activity? Not a lot. Not a lot of paranormal activity. Everybody says, ask this question to me and they say, if it's a ghost, etc. I've never actually seen a ghost, but we had a bit of a strange event in here. Obviously, you guys know Pitch Black is in here now. I was walking in to come meet the team in the base room, and just where the ladies' dorms are, we could see a light, so I naturally thought, all the girls are down there, we're going, nobody was in here, but play a bit of a prank on them. When we looked down, it was kind of a torchlight going out into the main tunnels. Now, we do a bit of a patrol where we'll go into Tunnel 1 over the far side, see if the lights are on. So I naturally thought, all the girls gone down there, I'll go in the base room. When we come in, they was all in there. So I said to Jill, who's the extra member of the team with us? Nobody. I said, well, somebody's just gone down the tunnel with a light on. So we went out, we searched everywhere, thinking somebody had come in off the car park. Couldn't find nothing. Jill said to me, I think you've seen things, which openly admitted, yeah, probably how much he's been, you know, kind of tired to him. The strange part about that story was that later on in the evening, if we kind of go to this tunnel just out here, where you walk down here, there's a girl standing in the tunnel, and at the end of the night, she came back up to us and she says, we heard somebody at the bottom by the dorms, so we went down to have a look, seeing if it was guests. We seen a torchlight, so we tried to follow him out, did the same thing, there was nobody in the tunnels. We never said nothing to him for that, so to have a guest say it as well without knowing, is it paranormal? I don't know.
So they do have devices, K2s, which react. Now, there is a generator which is usually turned off, and it was certainly on Sunday, as were mobile phones on flight safe mode as well. So everything that we did pick up on Sunday, it couldn't have been interference from a generator. It couldn't have been mobile phones. Things do happen. One of the host team members was Pam Lynott, and she spent a lot of time at Drakelow.
There's all sorts that goes on down in the tunnels, really. I was actually with another group, and we were in the down by the crossroads where we were earlier, and there was two torches on the floor, so there was a little bit of ambient light, and we were stood in a circle, and I heard a noise behind me, and I turned and I did the classic double take. I sort of went like that, did a double take, because the first time I turned, there was an apparition stood about 5 yards behind me, a full bloke standing over, he was about 6'1", 6'2". You could see the outline of a jacket, trousers, but his skin tone was grey, dark grey, same colour as the tunnels, and he was just stood there looking at me. So I turned, saw him, turned again, he'd gone.
How did that make you feel?
Curious more than anything. I wasn't frightened at all, but it was amazing. This is the first full-bodied apparition I've ever seen.
And can you describe the sort of jacket that he was wearing?
Hard to say, really, because he was all sort of one colour, but you could make out clothing. So I would say it was more like a casual sort of combat style jacket. Not camouflage, but like a darkish grey. But it looked like the clothing underneath was a slightly darker shade again. So you could make out the outline of the jacket. It wasn't done up. Mm-hmm. It was hanging, yeah.
I'm no pro, but I've heard people talk about the differences between ghosts and spirits. Would you say that he was more of a ghost?
I'm not sure, because it was almost like he was standing there looking at the group, trying not interacting at that point. But you tend to find that if it's a ghost, it'll just go on about its business. It doesn't know you're there. Whereas with him, it would appear that he was actually standing looking at us. So he was almost trying to interact with us, which is more like a spirit, what a spirit would do. Yeah.
And has anybody else seen anything of a similar nature that's been down here that you know of?
Other people have seen what they call the security guard, who walks around with a lantern. So people have been doing vigils down a tunnel, and they'll have seen a person walk across with a lantern hanging from their hand. And there's obviously nobody there by that description in the tunnels at all. And he's known as the security guard, and he's quite a regular appearance. Yeah.
And obviously seeing this apparition, it hasn't put you off coming back down.
No. I think as sort of, if you like, paranormal investigators, that's our ultimate, to see apparitions. That is the ultimate thing that we're always looking for. And it does become addictive. You know, you want to see more and more and more and experience more and more. Yeah.
So we did experience things which we haven't been able to explain. We gathered in Tunnel 2 of Drakelow Tunnels, and it was an opportunity to start the night to invite paranormal activity and all to hold hands.
But only the noise that I know of down here, down that way, at the end of the tunnel to the right, there is a teeny little drip, and it's not Mark. So if you do start focusing into a little... Okay, it is the drip down there. It is not paranormal. Okay? So, are we all good? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody was scared of the dark, were they? The best ghost hunting tool is yourself. So the main reason we do this in the dark, not that you get a fat lot of choice down here, but do it in the dark so that it takes away your sight. By taking away your sight, it heightens all your senses. So you're desperate to see something, you're desperate to hear something. You're looking out for flashes of light, mists, I know it sounds daft, shadows walking in front of you. It is pitch black, but you can actually see shadows walking around. It can be absolutely anything. You listen out for different noises, taps, bangs, whistles, things being thrown around, moved around. Does anybody want to hazard a guess as to why you're holding hands?
Because we're scared.
There is that.
Energy.
Perfect, energy. So we said earlier that spirits are going to feed off our energy. If you get a tap on the shoulder...
Oh, my God.
You know it's not the person next to you because you've got to hold their hand. So, to be able to listen out for things, we do need to be quiet. As much as I do want you to talk, it's got to be a one-by-one thing, because if we all talk, it all just gets too chaotic and echoey in here as well. But if you do see something, or you feel something, or hear something, do let us know. Don't panic if you think it sounds really silly. If you mention it, you might actually find that somebody else also can see it, and all of a sudden it becomes a little bit more validated, okay? So don't be afraid to speak up and say you are seeing or feeling or hearing something. It's something we can work with.
That is Jill Bacon, our host, who we'll hear more from throughout the course of the programme. And at this point, Jill began the communication.
Spirits, good evening to you. Spirits of Drakelow Tunnels and surrounding areas. We've come along here this evening to try and communicate with you. We don't mean you any harm, and we actually come with the utmost respect for you. We would be really, really grateful if this evening you could come forward and interact with us in any way that you are able. If you can hear my voice now, you'll see that we are stood in Tunnel 2. I've got lots of friends here with me this evening. They're all really, really friendly. They're one or two nerves, but they'll be all right. If you can see us and you can hear my voice, can you just acknowledge that you can hear me? Try and make a noise for us. Right, did somebody...
I just heard that noise, then, yeah.
Like a deep voice?
Yeah.
Is that anybody in the group?
No.
It sounded like it came from behind.
It came from behind me, too. Yeah. I didn't hear it.
Really?
Okay.
Okay.
I can see something. So where I was facing you, Jill,
yeah.
Probably to your 8 o'clock from where you were stood facing me, it's a very, I don't know, it's a very tiny, almost like pulsating light, sort of knee height.
Okay.
Something flashing over there.
There is, isn't there? It's like a very tiny dot almost, but...
Yeah. So you're seeing the same thing as well?
I'm seeing lots of
spots of blue flash from lights in front of my eyes.
Okay. Keep your eye on it for us.
So I did see a pulsating light down there, which another lady saw who appeared to come. So she was kind of behind me to my right. Adam, have we got that noise again, which the group heard?
We do. Let's have a listen.
It's very hard to hear. Can we just play that again?
We can.
So that strange noise that you hear there, and that obviously has been amplified from our recording devices, sounded like a male voice to quite a lot of the group. Now, bearing in mind it came from down one of the tunnels, but everybody that was in the tunnels that night, we were all there together. The doors were locked, so nobody else was around or in the tunnels. So we don't know what that noise was.
No, it was just strange because, like you say, it was pretty much silence apart from Jill at that point. And we were stood there, and you kind of hear it, and you go, oh, that's kind of freaky, that one. But yeah, as yet unexplained. And something really did happen to my kit whilst down there too.
We really did think we heard a voice there earlier on, as I was asking any spirits to please just acknowledge that you can see us here and you can hear my voice. If that was the case, could you just confirm that that was you, please? If there's anybody here in these tunnels, whether it's near where we are or further out, if you're able to make a noise for us, see if you can make a really loud bang. We can't see you well enough to know when to stop. If you need to go back to the base room, I'll get someone to take you back up there. But hold out as long as you can.
That was full.
You okay?
Yeah, I've got batteries.
Right.
We just lost a full powered battery. Piece of kit's just drained. Do you want to swap them out?
Some
change them.
Yeah, Direct Light Tunnel's good at draining batteries. Just be prepared that for your phones and what have you.
This is BFBS.
Celebrating Halloween.
Trick or treat!
Fright Night.
That's our host there, Jill, chatting, who looked after us on the night. And we had a couple of recorders. Luckily, we had a load of batteries as well. This thing happened, actually, the same thing happened to me in 2007 in
really?
The World War II tunnels in Gibraltar as well, which is also known for activity that's gone on there. One chap who you may know if you've been to Gib, Pete Jackson, has experienced a few things that have gone on in there. And he said to me at the time when it happened, it is renowned for your batteries just draining.
Do you know what I found really weird is, because if you're unaware of what we use, so these aren't phones that we're using to record.
No.
They are dedicated recorders. So there's no 3G or Wi-Fi on them. So it's not like it's straining to get a signal from somewhere and you're in a cave and that's what's... It's like having a tape recorder in your hand, but slightly nicer and more modern. And like I said, like we say, it started off the night. We deliberately checked to make sure everything was full batteries, because there's nothing worse, and I've done it in interviews before, where you get halfway through and it goes pop. But sure enough, we got halfway through with a full battery, and in my headphones, I just heard this little click as my recorder died. And I was a bit like, oh, what's going on here? So I turned to you and I said, is yours still going? So hoping it would be.
So it's funny, you don't know this yet, but we've got a similar experience of that a little bit later on.
Really?
You don't know about that? Yeah, that's coming up shortly. Luckily, we did have another recorder going when this happened, when Adam lost the power on his, because obviously we didn't want to start faff around changing it in the middle of what was happening, but we got an opportunity to change it. Still had two recorders going. Now, this time, we sent one person down each of the four dark tunnels. So we're in the centre, equipment all around us as well.
You guys down the tunnel, just get your bearings and then drop your torches. Okay, guys, so the equipment on the floor, let me quickly run through it for you. Okay, so the devices with numbers on, there's one here and there's one there. So the two EDIs, the numbers are temperature. They're not calibrated, so if they are running at slightly different temperatures, that is normal. They normally run 0.9 degrees apart from each other. So that is absolutely normal. If they flash blue, it is the EMF that I talked about earlier, which is why I need your phones on. These devices with the green dots, they are picking up EMF also. They can go from green through to amber through to red if they are interfered with, okay? There are four torches. There's a blue, there's a red. There's another colour.
This one's gone off here, Jill.
There's one there.
Yeah, all three of them gone off.
And there's one there. One of those is yellow, one green. I think the green one might be there. They are mag lights. They turned on and off by twisting the head. It's the only way we can turn those lights on and off. We've also got some balls on the floor.
They are cat balls. They are motion sensored. They have to be physically moved to be switched on, and they will then reset themselves. So, who have we got down this tunnel?
Martin.
Martin, you are tunnel A.
Yes.
Who have we got down here?
Dale.
Dale, you're tunnel B. Who have we got here?
Karina.
Karina, you're tunnel C. I love it when that happens. And down here?
Tia.
Tia, you are tunnel D. Okay, Spirit, so please do come into this circle. See if you can affect any of the equipment on the floor. There's a blue light that's flickering. Can you just try and turn that all the way off? See if you can turn that light out and make it nice and dark for us. All the way. Make it dark. If you'd rather go and have a one-to-one with somebody, you are more than welcome to walk out towards them. Go and introduce yourself. Let them hear your footsteps as you approach. Please go and interact with somebody. Did that blue light go really bright there?
Keeps flickering.
Spirit! There's a gentleman called Dale outside the security office. The problem is, Dale's not got clearance to be in here. He's trespassing. He's working as a spy. Go and stop him. Do whatever you need to do to make him leave these tunnels. You need to control him.
Whoa.
What was that?
Mrs. Martin, something just stood in front of me and all the lights went out. There we go.
As you said, whoa, I heard a noise down there as well. Was that you?
No.
So, Martin down one of the tunnels saw something and Jill, our host, heard something. At that point.
And we're all stood in the middle at this point going, what is going on?
So we don't have an explanation for that.
No.
I don't know what that was.
I think there's so many things down there that we don't have an explanation for. And I wish we did. I wish there was something tangible. I went down as a bit of a skeptic. And I wanted to be able to, anything we felt or saw or heard, I wanted to be able to explain away. But there is just bits where you just can't.
We go back to Tunnel 2. Of Drakeler Tunnels, where we were all stirred. Jill had started communicating in the hope of getting some paranormal activity.
Are there any children here? Any of the children would like to play with the lights? There's a guest here with one of the children's names. If you're here this evening, why don't you come forward? What was that?
Someone just kicked something on. No. Someone's just dropped out. It was very new, was it? Behind us. Nobody's kicked something
out. I heard that.
Blue light's gone as well.
And again.
Yeah.
That's a stone.
Blue light is out, yeah. Yeah, torch is out.
Who would say that was closest to them?
It's over here.
Okay.
Do you know when you click your fingers or your neck? It sounds like
it sounded like a stone dropping to me.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
And again, is it behind you, Mike?
Yeah, you must be hearing something.
The pebble sounded at about 2 o'clock.
Yeah, to me. Let's talk about the children coming forward. One of the young girls who shares the name of one of the guests. Why don't you see if you can find that lady?
Oh, what was that?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I did.
I don't believe it, but I swear to God. Did you just hear that?
Yeah.
That came from like the left of me.
It sounded down at Tia's tunnel, didn't it?
Yeah. Are you okay, Tia?
Yeah, but I just don't get it. Like, it's not down here, but they are. It's like to my left ear, but sort of like on a diagonal. That's the only way I can explain it.
So Tia, a complete non-believer of anything of the paranormal. And what we heard there were reactions to a pebble that was dropped from, we think it felt possibly like maybe waist or knee height.
Mm.
And Tia also heard what sounded like a woman groan as well. So we've taken those bits from the audio. You will hear it slightly enhanced, but can we hear that pebble clip?
Okay. Yeah, we can. Hang on.
Why don't you come forward? What was that?
So that's really enhanced there, but it was a definite pebble or stone being dropped.
It took me by surprise. again, going in as a bit of a skeptic, I really wasn't expecting anything to happen, if I'm really honest about this. But, you know, we're all there stood in a circle. The only people you've got are four people at either end of this tunnel. And we're not talking, you know, like a short walk away. Mm. We're talking quite a fair distance.
Yes,
if someone had honestly dropped a pebble that far away, you probably wouldn't have heard it, even with the echo. So this was really close by. And I think the weirder thing still was everyone was holding hands. So, yeah. You know.
And it's just worth mentioning as well, so you heard us talk about a torch there. So they had four, and you'll hear more about torches shortly, but they had four torches, one sort of basically facing each tunnel. We had orange, green, red and blue. And at the point of that pebble going out, the blue torch went off. It went out. Now, the only way to turn these torches off is to twist the head, and that's how they go on and off. As I say, we've got more about torches soon. Now, it's very difficult to hear, but we did extract the audio where Tia, who was down one of the tunnels, the non-believer, thought she heard a voice. For me, it doesn't sound like one, but I know that Tia wasn't alone in hearing this. Have we got that clip there as well?
Just yeah, we have.
Oh. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah. Should we listen to that one more time? Actually, I'll try and find it again.
It's a bit of a noise.
It's quite vague, don't get me wrong. We have had to bring the level of that quite up to be able to sort of kind of identify
it,
I suppose.
It is a split second, but it is something that Tia heard, and she flagged it with Jill. Is basically what it is.
Yeah.
That's the best we could get quality-wise out of it. Again, she was down there on her own, and we could hear in the first clip that we played you quite clearly what Tia sounded like versus this noise, whatever it is. So again, a reminder, there was the team, Jill, Mark, Pam, Nikki, who were all stood. We could see them by the sort of very faint torchlight that we had. Adam and I, so all six of us in the circle, Adam and I both had our hands, sort of our recorder in our left hand, right hand, covering the lights on it, the sort of small lights that were on there. And then obviously the four people down the bottom of the tunnels at this crossroads here. So they obviously couldn't drop a pebble close by either, certainly not to in the distance to where we were.
No way, and it was certainly wouldn't have sounded like this.
Why don't you come forward? What was that?
I mean, that in itself is quite extreme, isn't it, to be honest?
So, as we left the crossroads where we were before to head back to the base room, the bulk of the group that we were with went ahead. We were behind a little bit, and Adam and I were distracted by a strange static light, which actually turned out to be a glow stick. And just behind us, the last ones out the tunnel, were Mark from the host team, who was working with Jill, our host, and then Pam and Nikki, also on the host team as well. And they caught up with us, and they were talking about something which had happened literally moments before.
Definitely heard that noise.
I heard it as well because I stopped because I didn't know whether it was you
you were behind me.
Yeah, because
we
stopped
out the tunnel. We both heard this. It was like a.
Was that just now?
Yeah. As we're walking back out of the tunnel.
So which tunnel was that coming from?
The one that we've just.
Where we were at the crossroads.
Yeah.
And the main tunnel back towards the base road.
Yeah.
We were just coming to the end of that tunnel. You know where that girl was. Standing
she was there
where she was. Yeah, that was quite weird.
It was really nice.
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
Did you not hear it, Mark?
I didn't know, in all fairness.
That really was, wasn't it, Nikki?
Yeah.
God.
So what did it sound like? Did it sound like female or male? Or?
Mark was there, I was here, Nikki was behind me on the right.
Yeah.
And
you were the last ones coming out?
Yeah. And I heard like a, like that. And I turned, because I thought it might have been Nikki falling behind. And she said, did you hear that? And Mark, did you hear it?
So that happened in the tunnel which we exited from the crossroads. And it will get referenced, that exact tunnel will get referenced again a little later in the show.
That tunnel seems to crop up quite a lot in some of the spooky happenings that have been happening.
Now, we've heard what happened when we all gathered together in Drakelow Tunnels at the crossroads there, with four tunnels leading off from the main area where we were. We then split into groups. This is following the exit from that tunnel where we just heard Pam and Nikki talking about a voice that they heard. They were the last in the tunnel, and it wasn't either of them.
No.
And they heard it come from behind them. So one group, it was Pam's group, went off on their own to the machine corridor. Now, bearing in mind, Drake Lowe was used during the war to build the parts for aeroplane engines for the aircraft.
Yes, yeah.
To stop it from being bombed. There's still some stuff there in existence. It's incredible to see. Something happened in one of the corners of the room where nobody else was. Now, it was heard by a group member, a noise, something dropped. We think something dropped.
So you're barely touching. Barely touching. What was that? Where was it?
Over there,
that
corner.
Was it?
Yeah.
Pam went over then to the group to try and find out a little bit more.
What did you think that noise was?
Did it sound like another pebble?
Yeah, sounded like it was quite loud.
Yeah.
I thought maybe somebody dropped a torch.
No. It's down there. My backpack's over there.
It was over there, that corner.
Okay. I just love how incredibly calm Pam is. It's just what you need, yeah. Isn't it?
Well, you know what? It was a theme throughout the evening, the
all
team.
All four of them were.
They were just, you know, anything could happen and you kind of felt like they'd be the one to run up and give you a hug afterwards. I don't think there was... We were actually just discussing this a sec. I don't think there was a time in the tunnels that I actually felt threatened as such. And like you said... I think people kind of imagine going into somewhere like that and feeling instantly and like, oh, you know, like, but it wasn't that. I think it was just such an oppressive atmosphere in there.
Definitely. That was Pam's group. Now, I went off with Jill's group to the old kitchen where there are appliances, and it appeared that more than just the group came with us.
So, this is the original kitchen. All the original equipment, so you look through, you've got the fryers, the chip fryers, fish fryers, and ovens, and all sorts. Right, so let's hold hands, let's put lights out. Spirits, good evening. Oh, okay, we're going out already. Brilliant. So, four coloured lights in the middle, red, blue, green, and yellow. So far, the blue's gone out, the green's gone out, the red's gone out. You may as well knock the yellow one out as well, spirits. Thank you for turning three lights off, if that was you. Could you try and flash one of the lights back on again for us, please? Oh. That's what we like. My work is done, ladies and gentlemen, and I wish you a good night.
So, bearing in mind that the only way to turn these torches on and off is to, as I said earlier on, to twist the head of them. At that point, one of the torches flashed back on, and you can obviously hear that little gasp there from the group that were around. A coincidence or a spirit at work? Our old friend Dale, who was in this subgroup, then had a little go as well.
Hello, spirits. My name's Dale. My favourite colour is blue. So, if you like me, could you turn the blue flashlight on for me, please? Thank you very much.
Get in. Well done,
Dale. Wow. You haven't heard this yet,
no,
have you?
No, because I was at that point, I was in a completely different part of this tunnel. I mean, there's 3 miles of them, of these tunnels, to explore, and as we did later on in the evening, get lost in. So, no, that is the first time I've heard that. And it actually took me back to, and we always seem to be going back to the crossroads, but it took me back to there because we had a similar thing. 3 torches were flickering on. Mm. One kept turning on and off. It's really strange, and having actually had one of these torch port, you do have to give them quite a good twist to turn them on and off as
that's
well.
That's very true, yeah.
So it's very strange. Wow. I don't know what to say about that, really.
So, and obviously I haven't mentioned this to Adam either. It happened in the subgroup, and I sort of saved it a little bit. Then we had another little incident at this point in time.
But if you can hear my voice, I would love you just to confirm such by turning the red light on, please. Try and turn the red light on and confirm that you can hear my voice and see all these friends that I'm stood amongst. Oh, there we go. There's the red light.
So again, we had another response from the lights there. So they were really working, getting to work.
Yeah.
And Jill explained that they, you know, if there's the spirit there, it draws the energy, which is what makes those lights go out.
I'm sat here a little bit gobsmacked. Obviously, like I say, I was in a different part of this complex, this cave complex at the time. So I was under the impression until now, basically, to see I've rolled that one out, that it just happened at the crossroads, but this is happening in all over the place.
Mm. We then introduced a little app, basically White Noise. It uses the White Noise whereby potentially spirits can communicate. say certain words, and she brought this device out, which did seem to have an impact.
If you can hear us and you can see us and you can come towards us, can you just try and tap the table? Try and copy this for us, please. Okay, Spirit. We've got some white noise on the table.
Someone move that then.
I've got down 3 bars to 1 as well on the battery.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in fact, it's just about to die, I think. It's literally gone from... It's gone to nothing now.
Oh, how long does that normally last?
Hours.
Really?
Hours, yeah.
And you can probably guess what happened a few seconds after that. It went completely flat, so we lost the audio. Now, nothing happened between that happening and me having to put new batteries in, but bearing in mind, when we arrived in Kidderminster, I was geared up with brand new batteries. They hadn't been used very long. And, you know, we're talking a matter of an hour and a half, 2 hours
well,
at most.
In comparison, normally, so I've taken one of these recorders back when I was in Germany for the Freedom of Paderborn parade, got there at the start, and I still had half battery by the end, 5 or 6 hours later. This is the extent we're talking about these batteries. So the fact that mine died earlier in the night and yours was going here after such a, in comparison, short amount of time, it's not usual. It's got to be said.
Fright Night. Fright celebrating night. Halloween.
BFBS. A Forces Station.
Now, we were standing around a little tiny wooden table with this device on top.
Or come and communicate with us. Come and say hello.
What did you just say?
Either expected or unexpected.
Talk again. That was great. Fantastic. Thank you. Can you talk again?
Can you speak again?
So we had the word expected and something which we couldn't quite make out. Now, what you're about to hear, the next bit of audio, it followed straight after. It's true. It's not been edited in any way. And it happened in front of a group of guests and our host, Jill. And there is no way to manipulate this at all. And I, for one, have got absolutely no explanation for it either.
I'm not sure what you said. Could you say it again, please?
So you could tap the table then? I felt it, but I didn't do it. No.
I thought I heard that.
So we heard a tap on the table. Now, Jill asked if anybody had tapped. Nobody had. And then through that white noise, you can quite clearly hear the word, "I did it."
No, I'm sorry. I haven't heard that before. And carry on.
So this is it's quite amplified, so it's quite loud, but you will hopefully hear the tap. Did you hear that there? So listen again, it's coming. There it is, that's that tap, okay?
So you could tap the table then? I felt it, but I didn't do it. No.
So there was a tap and then I did it. So that tap only, again, is it sounded like this. It's very clearly there. That little tap.
Yeah.
And then obviously what followed was... And so we carried on.
Can you do it again?
Can you do that, Spirit, please?
Hide. That's what it said before.
What do we need to hide from?
It sounded like Boyd, but I don't think it was.
Would you pass that as a name?
Could be a surname. Is your surname Boyd?
I'd love it if you can tap the table again like this.
Innocent.
Mm-hmm. You were innocent.
According to the yellow triangle in the bottom, the spirit has departed.
So there is a little alert on this box, this app, that says when the spirit's departed or when there is something present. It's a little yellow triangle with an exclamation in there. Looking at your face.
Honestly, I don't really know what to say. Because, like, again, it's go back. I was in a different part of the tunnel when all this was going on. And hands up, we weren't getting much in the way of interaction. To hear that and to think that after that, me and you were walking around, you didn't tell me that had happened, and we've got all these different words like deadly popping up on the ghost radio, which you'll hear a bit later on. Mm. I was on the assumption that this ghost radio thing, it was kind of picking stuff up. Mm-hmm. And we got words as we were walking around, and again, you'll hear that a bit later on. But they were kind of... It was kind of doing it when it wanted to do it. There was no real correlation between us asking. It was like it was just, you know, chatting. But you literally heard a... on the table, followed by, I did it, followed by, hide.
I was watching that table, and nobody tapped that table.
I honestly, I was listening to that for the first time, I should add. you saw my face. I don't even know.
So after... the group that I was with had sort of experienced words via this white noise. I was left alone. Now, you'll sort of hear sort of people initially. You'll hear Jill's voice partway through this clip as I tell her that a spirit has been picked up, and she said, I thought I heard something. But take notice of where the spirit worked. When I asked the question, the spirit... There is a definite answer, okay? So I was in the kitchen... and not in the place that came up on this device.
Hello, spirit. Can you join me to have a chat? Tell us where you are, if you worked here. Hello, spirit. Thank you for joining me. Can you talk to me? Tell me your name. Did you work in the kitchen? Can you hear me? In a lab? Which lab? Which lab were you in?
Competitive.
You competitive?
Even.
Even.
Launch.
Launch? What did you launch? I've got something. Tombs. That's cheerful. Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. No worries. Yeah, sure. Felt. What did you feel? Toe? What happened with the toe? Spirit, what happened with the toe? Comment. You don't want to comment? Or... Alarm? What about alarm? Alarm. Gone. Okay. So, again, Adam hasn't heard that audio, and this audio came before Adam and I went on a little walk around on our own. Tell us what you saw on a huge sign in one of the tunnels that neither of us had seen before this.
After hearing that, I don't actually want to acknowledge the fact that it happened. But yeah, we went for a walk, and we walked, I think, probably to the far stretches of the tunnels, and found we got a little bit lost at one point. Mm. On the way back, we sort of turned round, and there was quite a large sign saying Lab 1.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very clearly, I said, did you work in the kitchen? And the answer was lab. So I don't know. Is it a coincidence? I don't know. Jill gives us a bit of an explanation on that device we just heard as well.
What it's actually doing is mimicking a spirit box. So okay. A traditional spirit box will scan through radio waves at a really high speed.
Yeah.
So you get that noise, similar to the old TVs when you used to come at the end of the night. You used to get that white crackling noise from your TV. So the app actually mimics that white noise, and it's believed that spirits can talk through the white noise. What's more interesting... or maybe not more interesting, but I've had that running alongside what we call the Alice Box, which is actually a Windows software. And the Alice Box has got a massive database of words in it, and it's believed that spirits can manipulate those words and display them on screen. I've had the two apps running next to each other, completely independent, and they've come up with the same names at the same time, or the same words at the same time, which to me just blows my mind a little bit and gives me a little bit of faith what comes through. Now, quite often, you get random words that mean absolutely nothing, but sometimes it's really relevant to the location you're in and really relevant to the questions that you've asked.
We asked her about her experiences in the tunnels, and she gave us her best two moments.
One of them, we had just finished the group vigil down the crossroads, just like similar to what we did tonight. Being quite a quick walker, I marched on back up and had the guests behind me. And I did have two guests stood right behind me, the massive gap then until the other two, until the, any of the other guests were coming along. As we were walking just past the kitchen area, something came past my head at speed. So I automatically turned around and went, "What are you doing?" to the guests behind me. They were as freaked out as I was. And when I actually thought about it, this object came from quite high up, but didn't just drop vertically down, it came across. So it didn't just naturally drop. It was a massive metal bolt on the floor, and I'll let you describe. The head is about that big, and the length of it, probably about that big. It was huge. I have no idea where it came from. It literally came across between me and the guests, just missed my head. Later on that same evening, we were in the medical centre next door. So I'm not sure if you've been in there, but there's some side wings as you walk down the corridor, and it opens up into a big operating theatre at the bottom. So we were all in the operating theatre, the guests that I had. They were all accounted for in that area. There's a window between the operating theatre and the first bay room. A metal curtain pole hook came from that room and smacked me on the arm. When we picked it up, it was quite hot, but there was nobody in that room. And we checked it, and we checked that nobody had, like, left the corridor, and there was just nobody there, and everybody was accounted for. So that was two incidents in one night where metal objects have been thrown at me. So that was interesting. The guests with me at the time weren't that particularly impressed. I was like, just been smacked on the arm by a blowing piece of metal. So the next set of guests that came in, I told them what had happened, and they actually investigated and apparently had annoyed a spirit earlier in the night. And that's why he was chucking things at me. So interesting, then that night, some guests wanted to leave early. So yeah, that's not a problem. Walked out with them, opened the door, opened the gate, said goodbye, turned around, thought, now I've got to walk back in on my own. So that was probably the only time I've quite nervously walked through these tunnels on my own, because I'm always down here on my own.
Yeah. Is there any point in your mind where you think, I'm done, I'm not going to continue this anymore?
No, it was strange, because it was all a bit of a what's going on, trying to understand it, trying to explain it. I've got 40 guests to look after. I can't really think about it right now. Obviously, walking back after I let the guests out, started to think a little bit too much about it. So, like, quickly walked down. The next few weeks, walking past those areas, I probably walked a lot quicker than normal, just to scoot through them. I remember emailing the boss, Hazel, on that evening saying, "You'll never guess what's just happened. Blah, 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 blah. Hope you're okay. Can you work Draco next week then?" And I was like, oh my goodness. Literally, I was like, you know what, bite the bullet and get on with it, because if you do become afraid of it, there's going to be a time you're just not going to do it. So I just bit the bullet, put maybe gill pants on and carried on.
Your second story?
My second story was, we were having a charity event over here. It's an all-girl group. And again, we did all the crossroads and blah, blah, blah. In their free time, a group of girls wanted to go back to the crossroads, but they were too nervous to go down on their own. So I took them down there. I can't remember, there's four or five of them. Two of them with the hoodies up, hiding. But we stood there, we were calling out. And all of a sudden, one of the girls went, "So what's that light down the bottom of the tunnel?" And it was straight down Tunnel 3, going away from the security office, which is what we would refer to as Tunnel D this evening. I was about to say, don't worry about it, it's always there. I've seen it before. I think it's reflection? You're not going to get reflection in the dark. So I'm just trying to process what I'm saying. And all of a sudden, it started bobbing up and down. So I said, OK, it's free time. So maybe it's a guest with a torch walking, hence the bobbing up and down. All of a sudden, it went vroom towards us. And it literally halved the distance between what we originally had, which looked like half of Tunnel 3. Tunnel 2, sorry, I'm lying about that. It's Tunnel 2. And so I was like, okay, that's definitely not torch. So I started talking to it. At this point, the other two people then got their hoodies up and completely covering their faces up so they can't see anything. One of them was looking and, like, really enjoying it. So I said, okay, can you come a little bit closer? Vroom, it came closer. This is strange. Can you come closer? Vroom, and it came closer again, every time I asked it. I said, okay, can you make yourself brighter? And it just lit the tunnel up and then died back down to its original sort of brightness. And we kept asking those two questions, and every time we asked it, it did exactly what we wanted. But that was just, like, amazing. I could never, ever explain it. I have no idea what that light was, how it was there, why it was there, and how it was doing what it was doing.
And that bolt that Jill described earlier on that was thrown in her direction, It was over an inch in diameter, if I remember, on the head of it, and at least well over a couple of inches long as well, quite a large bolt that was thrown on the same night that she had a curtain hook thrown at her as well.
And what the other thing that's really weird is down there it's absolutely freezing. Like, we were wearing several layers. But she says that the curtain clip was warm.
Yeah.
I mean... How did you start with that one, eh?
How do you explain those? Now, we asked her if you have to be open-minded when on a hunt like this, and if sort of being close-minded, like sceptics, would result in never experiencing a thing.
You do get sceptics here, they're like, it's nothing, and a spirit will go along, well, actually, douche, it is. Okay, so then they pick on people that they think, yeah, we'll soon sort you out. We had the young girl that was really nervous tonight, so she was closing herself off it, and again, spirits love that nervous energy, so there's no reason why they wouldn't go up and interfere just to prove a point to them or just to get them a little bit more scared, because if you were fun and happy when you're alive, then why not when you've passed the other side? And they do come along and tease you. So you don't necessarily have to be open to it, but it does definitely help. You've seen the groups tonight, some of them are a lot quieter than others, and the quieter ones will struggle to get the interaction going. You need to really lift those energy levels and get things going to interact with spirits generally.
I think, and for me, I've taken quite a lot away from tonight, but one of the things, when you obviously left me with the white noise box.
Sorry about that.
Thank you for that on my own, eventually in the dark. So I was just chatting, I saw that there was potentially something around. One of the words I got was lab, and I didn't know that there was an actual sign on the wall that said lab one, so I was oblivious of that.
Okay.
And then we walked past it, Adam and I walked past it together.
We did, and weirdly, one of the other words that came up was deadly at one point.
That's right, yeah, and that was near the crossroads, I think, where we were.
It was down by the crossroads, almost heading as far.
In fact,
from
it was where you girls heard the whatever it was that you heard earlier in the evening after we'd finished vigil together. So we were walking back up towards the crossroads, and that's when deadly came up.
And that was quite a moment, I think, for both of us, especially as we were just about to stand in the dark for a while as well. But, you know, things like that, do you think that they're intrinsically linked? Was there anything deadly here, for example? Was there a reason that that might come up? Do you find some words are more common than others, or...?
We find some words are more relevant to the locations than others, certainly. So currently the lab's quite interesting, because I didn't know there was a sign there either, but I've looked at the maps of Drakelow Tunnels, and there are labs knocking around. So that sort of testing, things like that, were definitely going on down here. And if you look on YouTube, where some of the previous workers are interviewed, they talk about laboratories and stuff like that as well. So that is definitely quite relevant. Deadly could be anywhere. If that's going down towards Tunnel 1, I think that was where the roof collapsed and the three gentlemen lost their lives through the collapse of the roof. Whether that's connected or not, I couldn't tell you.
For me, it's just... For me, I've never been in a place like this before, so instantly I'm a little bit on edge. And when we first walked around, certainly, I was. And I felt fine again. And then when we went on our own, you go down a tunnel and suddenly you can't hear anyone. There's no sign of anybody. And I think we probably got as far as you could possibly go. But you do get these feelings that maybe you shouldn't turn left there, or you shouldn't, and you kind of don't know if it's for a reason or if it's just you kind of going, it's a bit darker than the other one, or it's a bit denser fog than the other one. You know, how do you get past that? Do you just put it all to the back of your head and think, no, I'm just going to wander down there? Do you get that, or...?
I think I'm invincible. And it's true, I do. I walk around here going, nothing happens, nothing's going to happen to me, I'm absolutely fine, I'm safe, despite having a bolt chucked up my head. And so that, I kind of ignore that it ever happened and just walk through like it's my home. There are areas when I think, you're right, you know, you might look somewhere and think, wish I hadn't have looked there. Or you might catch something in your eye and think, okay, what was that? Should I look back or not? You definitely get those feelings. But it's what I'm after as well. You know, it's what we're here for. So I generally do squint back.
The more you do it, as well, the more curious you get, don't
you?
Yeah,
definitely.
Because it becomes such an addictive thing that you want more, don't you? You want to experience more. So you're quite prepared to go into these areas and have a good look around, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, several times I've come down here on my own and set up all the refreshments on my own. with no other team, and you just have to get on with it. It's not so bad at the beginning because it's like quite nice and quiet and calm. Then we spent 4 hours winding the spirits up. So cheerio to all the guests. I'm like, ooh, now we've wound them all up, I'm back on my own. I do leave a lot quicker than when I arrive.
That is Jill Bacon there. Huge thanks to Jill, Mark, Pam and Nikki for looking after us, and also to Hazel and Sid as well for making it happen. A big shout out to the team who experienced everything that we did on the night. Hope you've enjoyed the show. What sort of stood out for you most, would you say?
So for me on the night, as you know, I kind of went in as a bit of a sceptic, and I kind of came out as a bit of a sceptic. There was things that I couldn't explain, but I put that down more to me not being able to, due to my own ignorance rather than anything else. I was thinking there must be a way of explaining this, which I'm sure someone much cleverer could do. But after hearing the audio of what happened when you had the knock on the table and the ghost radio, honestly, it's completely flipped and transformed the experience that I had down there. And I mean, you see me tonight, I'm very rarely speechless, as you know.
I think definitely for me, the white noise I will take away, because that did make me think a lot. Actually, I did think a lot, and then obviously we had a little sort of pebble that was dropped as well. I mean, that for me was just very, very strange. And again, I'd sort of think about that and think, you know, was that? What was that? What was the? There's no explanation for that.
It was just so sudden, and I think actually it was so crystal clear and so close to us that for me I couldn't find a way of explaining it if I tried.
I think I've got it here, hang on.
Why don't you come forward? What was that?
So it's this. Very clearly.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
It's you know what, I think if anything, I was saying this earlier to you, I would quite like to go back down there again. After hearing all of it and kind of reliving it again, I don't think it's put me off as such. I think what it's done is make me want to go down more. And I would do that all over again in a heartbeat.
And I think the biggest one for you, am I right in saying that this is probably the biggest one for you?
So you tap the table then? I felt it, but I didn't do it.
God. You saw by my face, the second I heard that white noise again, that was it. I was off. I can't explain it. And again, as a sceptic, I think that has probably swayed me more than most things would. But there we go. Oh, you're such a... That was Fright Night. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
BFBS. Celebrating Halloween.
The Forces Station.
Fright Night.
Halloween.